The Derek Hunter Show.
You talking to me?
Yeah, he's talking to you.
Me?
Noon to 3 on WBAL.
So in addition to the Supreme Court decision handed down today on affirmative action in college admissions, there were arguments before the High Court today on the Arrow case. Now, you may not know what the Arrow case is, but it could, depending on how it goes, have a major impact not only on how you view television, but how much you pay for it. Joining us now to discuss it is Peter Suchu. He's contributing writer for Fortune.com, freelance writer, and he covers consumer electronics, technology, and the electronic entertainment industry for the past 15 years. Peter, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you.
So the Arrow case, essentially, from my understanding of it, is Arrow sells you a TV service. It's streamed online, but it's for about $8 a month. And what they do is they capture over-the-air broadcasts, meaning if you don't have cable or satellite or anything and you're just using the, not the rabbit ears anymore, you're going to have the high-def antenna, but that's for free. They're capturing that and digitizing it and streaming it online. Is that about right?
Yes, that's what Aereo is doing. They have, in a number of markets around the country, they have antenna farms. They're really small, but they've got thousands of these. They're on rooftops. They grab the broadcast signal, and then for a fee of about, like you said, $8 a month, they provide it to their subscribers who can watch the broadcast, the local broadcast stations, either on a PC or a mobile phone, something like that.
Now, this is available. This is one of the services available in Baltimore as well. And I know I'm not going to name my cable company, but everybody probably knows what it is. And every month when I write that check, it is, aside from rent, the biggest check that I write every month. And it's kind of annoying. So the appeal of Arrow is wide, but the broadcast networks are saying that they're stealing their intellectual property. What case are they making, Peter? Because they are, Arrow's taking what they're broadcasting for free. You could get it for free. Arrow's just delivering it a different way. What is the argument from the broadcast networks?
Well, what the broadcasters are upset about, and it kind of goes back to the old days when cable was kind of a new medium. In the old days, the broadcasters actually used to almost have to beg the local stations, we want to be on cable because people are getting cable and they're watching TV there. They might not switch the cable off and use the old rabbit ears, as you said. So in the old days, the broadcasters, local stations, all anybody that was over the airways wanted to be on cable. Well, what's happened over the years, with all the competition, all the channels we have, and all the content that's out there, the broadcasters are now wanting retransmission rights. So the reason your cable bill, as you pointed out, it's after your mortgage, it's the second largest bill you're paying. Part of the reason is everybody has their handout for that content. So CBS wants money, and that's why last year in some markets like New York, and I believe it was Houston and a few others, CBS and the CBS properties, which included Showtime, were actually blocked out on some cable providers because they could not come to terms on those retransmission fees. So that's where the broadcasters are coming from. If they have to already pay Verizon and Time Warner and the other cable operators, if the cable operators, rather, are paying for that CBS content, then CBS thinks Aereo should be paying as well. That's what it comes down to, is if all the providers, Dish and the cable operators and everybody's paying for the content, Aereo's trying to kind of get around it, and they're using the argument, well, we're just grabbing the signal that anybody with an antenna can grab.
What is this? Will we get a decision by late June when the Supreme Court goes out of session? Is that what we're expecting with this?
That's what we're hearing, but as I wrote in my Fortune.com piece, having talked to a number of legal experts around the country, we're not going to see any change. So whichever way this goes, it's not going to be an immediate change. So don't think, CBS and Fox have both kind of rattled sabers and pounded on the tables, and we're going to go away. That's not going to happen, but yeah, that's probably the key, is everybody thinks, everything is changing because it is expensive with the content. Is we could see a change, but we're not going to see it. In the fall, CBS is still going to be on the airwaves in Baltimore and other cities around the country. That's not going to change regardless of how this ruling comes in June.
Now, Peter Suchu from Fortune.com, what does this mean does this mean anything to the bottom lines of the networks? Because over the air, they are broadcasting it for free. So they're not losing direct revenue. Is it a matter of They just don't like their copywritten material, someone else profiting off of it, or is it a matter of it could impact the ratings because the delivery device isn't measured?
One part is the ratings and the advertisers, and then another part of this is what is going to stop the next guy from doing this. And I think that's why they're threatening the nuclear option, which is to pull the over-the-airs and possibly go to an all-cable offering, becoming a cable channel. They're just worried that somebody else could basically, you know, pop up the server farm, the antenna farms, I should say. What's to stop you or me from just suddenly putting antennas up and then selling, doing a similar service?
It's true. Now, the future of television, is it? Are we just going to get rid of anything other than streaming over cable? I mean, with Hulu, if you don't like, I get cable because I need to watch cable news. If I could get that online, if they streamed that online, I would get rid of cable because with the Hulu, with the Netflix, with Amazon, you don't really need television. Is it? Are they just going to have to find a way to adapt to the existence of the market as it is today?
Well, I think that's where the broadcasters are very worried about this, is it used to be, again, as I mentioned in my article, it's that Norman Rockwell painting, the nuclear family sitting around a box in the living room. And that's not really how we watch TV anymore. It's really kind of changed. As HBO experienced, they have so many viewers for the series finale of True Detective and the season premiere of Game of Thrones, their HBO Go service actually crashed. I think we are going to see an evolution, which is why broadcast could go away, but you have to keep in mind Verizon, Comcast, these other companies, they're in kind of both. You know, Comcast is both the company you might get your cable TV from, but they're also the company that's delivering your internet. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be there. So, you know, you're not going to be able to, people keep saying, well, I could get rid of cable TV. I would just watch, I would watch my shows over the internet. And I ask the question, well, who's your internet provider? Well, Comcast. So why would you bother getting rid of it? Because even if you go down from the triple play to the single play, are you really prepared to give up your home phone line? And at the end of the day, yeah, it's a tremendously giant bill, but you have to consider that 10 years ago, a lot of people were paying nearly the same amount of money, well, with inflation, obviously, but people were paying a similar amount of money, but you paid one bill to your phone company, you paid one bill to your cable company, you paid one bill to your internet provider. Now we're writing one big check, and that's the reason it's gotten bigger, is you're not writing a check to all these other people.
Also, you've got the lack of competition when it comes to cable. Most cities, through the franchise agreements, give a company a monopoly.
Right.
Which artificially drives up prices. They have to justify it, and they run risk. Satellite offers a certain amount of competition, but it doesn't provide internet access. But, you've been at this for 15 years. Do you write about video games and things of that nature?
I have.
Because it's the 25th anniversary this week, maybe even today, of the Game Boy.
Of the Game Boy, yes.
Could you just talk for a second about the advances, not only in video game technology, but in cable and internet and everything that you've seen over your 15 years and what you think? Because I'm always fascinated, somebody does this for a living, where you see this going. Where does it go? Because if you look at it, I have an iPad sitting in front of me, and I think, aside from changing the shape, I don't know what you can do to this thing. I don't know what more is out there, but then I wouldn't have envisioned this either.
Right, right. Well, I think the Game Boy did something that was really unique, really different, and that was there had been handheld systems, even back into the 70s. You had those handheld football games, and you had a few Blast Alien type games, but the Game Boy really was the first handheld system that allowed you to play multiple games, because it kind of used the same system Nintendo introduced in the living room, which kind of went back to the days of the Atari 2600, which was the changeable cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nintendo did a fantastic job of making it so kids never had to look out the window on a car trip again with the parents. They could sit in the back seat and play Tetris and Super Mario and all that kind of stuff for hours and totally miss all the beautiful scenery that the highway offers you. So, you know, Nintendo did a really good job of creating that. It's evolved into a whole bunch of stuff. But it's a scary time now for companies like Nintendo because, as you mentioned, you have your tablet, you have thousands of games now on your phone, You have thousands of games on your tablet. I mean, I fly all the time, and I can't get on a plane without seeing somebody playing Angry Birds or Temple Run on their tablet.
Yeah.
So we're seeing that, but I think the video game industry is doing reasonably well. We have two new systems on the market, plus the Nintendo system that kind of tanked. I think video games are alive and well, and today, you know, those systems do a lot more than just play games.
Yeah, they're the lifestyle things. Through the Xbox One, you can control everything in your house.
And absolutely. And I think that's why you're now seeing back in the 1970s and early 80s, you know, it was ColecoVision, it was Atari, it was Intellivision. Yeah, and those companies did well, and we shouldn't forget that Steve Jobs actually started his career at Atari. We should never forget that fact. But when you look at it today, the names in the living room are Microsoft and Sony. You know, Nintendo's been around 100 years. They've reinvented themselves. We'll see where they go in the future. But it really is a showdown between Microsoft, the company that made operating systems for computers, and Sony, a company that's been a consumer electronics giant since the 60s.
And the beneficiary is us, the consumer.
Exactly.
Peter Suchu, appreciate your time and your thoughts today. Good time.
Anytime. Thank you.
Be right back.